Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Just let them talk. If they want to. Talk, don't bother me.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. There are people out there who might be surprised to learn that Hugh Laurie, star of the incredibly popular Fox TV drama House, isn't American, although he played one on TV for 8 years. He's English, and among his many talents, he has a real knack for imitating those of us from the opposite side of the Atlantic. But despite his British roots, Hugh Laurie has always had a deep interest in at least one aspect of American culture, the blues. In 2011, he released his first blues record called Let Them Talk. Now he's back with a second album called Didn't It Rain. Hugh Laurie joins me here in the Soundcheck studio. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Not too long ago, we did a whole week of shows where we were asking people about the first album they ever bought with their own money. Was the blues like, was that like right out of the gate for you?
It was. The blues, well, I heard it on the radio first, and that was the first electric shock, the thunderbolt that descended from the heavens. The first record, I think, was a Muddy Waters record live at Mr. Kelly's, which I'm not sure if Mr. Kelly's still exists in Chicago. I think it does. That's another holy place that I've yet to track down, but...
Was that the one that was also a record store, or
yes, I think it was. Yeah. I think it's been through. I don't know who Mr. Kelly was, but it's been through many incarnations. So Muddy Waters was my first sort of touchstone, I suppose. Back in the days when I wanted to be a guitarist, who didn't? Which young boy didn't want to be a guitarist?
Except most of us wanted to be Keith Richards or Mick Taylor or Pete Townsend. You wanted to be...
I wanted to be a sitting down guitarist. Muddy sat on a stool. B.B. King sits on a stool. I kind of like that sitting down thing. And I suppose that's probably what eventually led me to the piano, because that's a good sitting down instrument.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll take up the harp. I don't know.
So Muddy Waters live at Mr. Kelly's. This was the first record Hugh Laurie ever bought.
What is that she got? Yeah, you know I wonder what is that she got. What is that she got? Yeah, you know I wonder what is that she got.
Hugh Laurie, we knew you were going to say that record.
Well, if you didn't know I was going to say that, that's awfully quick and impressive of you.
What is that she got? And as soon as we started playing it, it looked like you were back at age 9 or 10 or whatever.
I was 9 or 10, and I was just writhing in pleasure, because there's something about that man and something about that band. Little Walter on the harp and Otis Spann, who became Otis Spann is how I really moved from the guitar to the piano, because although I revere Muddy's singing and his playing, I call him Muddy. How dare I?
Mr. Waters,
exactly. I found myself getting more and more interested by the piano, which is actually quite sort of deep in the sound of the band. But I became obsessed with all those little licks he's doing. And the way that band is just so sort of leaning back and nobody's in any hurry to get to the end of this song. I just love that sound.
So you were 9 or 10 around.
I think so, somewhere around there, yeah.
There is obviously a long English tradition of musicians coming to our side of the Atlantic, right, bearing our own, you know, bearing coal to Newcastle. You know,
I apologize for it, and I didn't realize that was a phrase over here: coals to Newcastle, or snow to Eskimos, or whatever.
Right,
yeah,
right. Yeah. Although I will sometimes use that coal to Newcastle thing, and people say, "What are you talking about?"
Huh? Right.
But you know, I mean, without that, no Rolling Stones, no Yardbirds, no Cream. A lot of the Beatles, you know. So.
Yes, it is odd. It is very, very odd. I can't account. Not only can I not account for it, I actually don't think I should account for it. I think there are plenty of people in line before me who should come up with an explanation.
But there's another kind of English tradition, and that is, I mean, you got your start in comedy, you know, working with people like Stephen Fry, et cetera. And there's a real tradition, it seems, of English comics who are also musicians. You know, think of Dudley Moore, who was a really fine pianist.
A terrific pianist.
Innes, who did all that great music for Monty Python.
He did. Well, that's odd, isn't it? But I think of American actors and comedians being... I think of all Americans actually just sort of being born able to go straight onto a Broadway stage and sing a song and hold a tune and dance and... you know, very entertaining people. It's been observed by the rest of the world.
There are many of us who can, in fact, not do those things. I guess it's good that some people can. So having, you know, gone through the whole experience of being House on TV, that gave you a little, I mean, for folks who were paying attention, it became pretty clear that when House was playing music, that was you. I mean, you were really playing, right?
I was playing, yes, and I wrote a couple of little pieces that just sort of incidentally fit into scenes and things. I mean, it was not my intention to show, oh, look at me, I'm playing. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really the point of it. But the character was, in its original conception, was based on Sherlock Holmes, and we always had this idea that it was one of the fascinating things about Holmes and latterly House that... But alongside this large, bulbous scientific brain that was this sort of calculating machine that appeared to be sort of cold and occasionally cruel and dispassionate anyway, there was a side of him, there was a side of Holmes and a side of House that was intuitive and romantic and
creative.
Yeah. And we always thought that the musical side of it was just an interesting element to have throbbing away on the other side of his brain.
Right, and the 21st century Sherlock Holmes probably wouldn't play the violin, but the guitar...
Well, who knows? Yeah. Although Holmes's violin is... The way he played it, the way it's described, I think he played it on his knee, and he just sort of drags the bow, and Watson describes it as being this sort of unearthly sound, this eerie wailing... it sounds, frankly... modern.
I was going to say, very avant-garde.
Exactly.
<yeah. laughs> We're speaking with Hugh Laurie, my guest on Soundcheck. The new album is called Didn't It Rain. The first album you did was produced by Joe Henry.
Yeah.
He's back for the second record.
Certainly is.
You've assembled this remarkable cast of characters. How did the songs get selected for this record?
Well, it's a sort of long dialogue between Joe and I will compile a list of, you know, 100 things we love, and gradually that list will inflate, and then it'll go to 150, and then it'll gradually it'll deflate down to sort of 20, 30 or so, and we're sort of whittling away. And it's actually one of the most enjoyable parts of the process, in fact, is the exploration and the dialogue between us about the things. You know, I will sometimes put him on to someone he doesn't know, and he will put me on to someone I didn't know, and that's a thrilling, you know, we sort of lead each other down various corridors that we know well.
But you both would have known Dr. John, who makes a guest appearance on your first record.
That's right.
And so you guys chose to do Wild Honey, one of his older songs.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit. This is Mac Rebinac, a.k.a. Dr. John's song, Wild Honey, from Hugh Laurie's new record, Didn't It Rain?
Wild honey makes me feel like twice the man I used to be.
Wild honey, wild honey.
Wild honey makes me feel like twice the man.
make but a crack. You crumble a kingdom. Don't take but a queen to make that kingdom come. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. I'm the one who's gonna get all the fun done. Wild Honey.
That's my guest Hugh Laurie and Wild Honey, a Dr. John cover from his new record called Didn't It Rain, his second album. And Hugh Laurie will be back here in New York playing at Town Hall on October 25th. I mentioned in the introduction, you know, a lot of Americans thought you were American, people who didn't know your
right.
original British career, because your ear for accent is so good. I mean, that seems to have stood you in good stead with this these songs, too.
Well, it's funny, because I actually don't... I'm not... You, this may sound, this may be hard to believe. I'm actually not aware of any affect in the, in the actual singing of these songs. They just sort of come out the way they do. I suppose, having grown up listening to this music every day, hours and hours and hours every day, this is just how it's imprinted itself on my brain. And in the same way that I would probably find it hard to... Well, I don't listen to a lot of opera, but if I did listen to a lot of opera, you know, I would rather hear Puccini in Italian. And I don't right. want to... I just don't want to hear it English. It would be... it's just how I hear them. I'm not really conscious of doing it, but maybe that's true. Maybe I... Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe actually these songs, listening to these songs, are what sort of shaped the sound of, you know, the playing an American character.
Well, that's an interesting
idea. I don't know. I just came up with that. I don't know if that's true. Maybe I should retract it.
No, that's nonsense.
What am I talking about?
So did you find adopting and inhabiting an American accent to be difficult at first?
Speaking as an actor, I certainly did. I mean, and that was my sort of daily... that was not that it was a grind. That's not the right way to describe it. But my sort of daily struggle was with how... on earth do Americans say the word murder? That's a particularly difficult one for English people to try and say that. Or federal court, or wherever you've got a lot of R's close to each other. That's where my tongue starts bleeding.
But, you know, another funny thing is, you know, Americans, we tend not to be a very... We tend to be a microtonal people. We're not very melodic, whereas... You know, on your side of the Atlantic, I mean, the Irish sing all the time. But
right.
but even the English, you know, your speech is a lot more inflected, it seems, than ours.
Do you think? I wonder whether I'm sort of aware that maybe Americans hear English people that way, but I think English people hear Americans that way.
Really?
I think the English people think of themselves as actually rather flat and dry, and we think of Americans as actually... Well, that's sort of poetic, and with a lot of modulation and light and shade. And
well, speaking of flat, I mean, you know, there's the New York L.A. English that
right.
you know most broadcasters adopt,
right,
and
right.
you know that there you are going for a kind of sort of smoothed down.
Well, I suppose yes. I mean, we talked about, you know, when thinking about the character, we did talk about. History and where he would have grown up and the sounds he would have been influenced by. But we also thought that someone who inhabits a world of academia, that is almost its own country in a way. And it often involves a lot of movement. I mean, people travel a lot. They take posts for 2 years here and 2 years there. It is its own sort of, it is its own passport in a way.
Yeah. It's funny how this sort of gets back to the blues, because, you know, the blues is not known for wild, melismatic, you know, lots of trills and runs of notes on a single syllable and stuff like that. It's kind of storytelling.
It is storytelling at its best. I mean, I think sometimes I become frustrated by some... version, some sort of modern iterations of the blues that are really where someone will sing a verse of a song And then, as just simply as a way of setting up six verses of guitar shredding, but, which doesn't do much for me. Yeah. But you know, you do hear that on the radio. It's a sort of blues rock thing, mm-hmm. where people just want to just set up a structure so I can show you all my riffs. But I agree with you. At its best, it is storytelling, and it is pared down, and the things that Muddy Waters and, let's say, B.B. King can do with three notes, far surpass the things that a lot of guitarists and a lot of singers can do with 300 notes. Mm-hmm. You know, the pared down, the purity of it is sometimes just on its own, never mind a lyric or a story or a setting, just the purity of it can be thrilling on its own.
Yeah. Hugh Laurie, what is the message for the children in the Junkers Blues that we're about to hear? What are you trying to tell the children of America here?
I'm saying, just say, what am I saying? I'm saying, beware, children, beware. It's a rich and exciting world out there, but tread carefully.
This is from Hugh Laurie's latest record, Didn't It Rain, a version of the Junkers Blues.
Some people call me a junker. See, I'm loading out of my mind, but I just feel happy. I feel good all the time. Some say I use a needle, and some say I sniff cocaine. That's the best damn feeling that I've ever seen. So it's goodbye, goodbye to whiskey. It's so long to gin. Just give me my reefer. I wanna get high again.
That is Hugh Laurie, who clearly didn't get the memo that Soundcheck is a family program. The song is Junkers Blues from his new album, Didn't It Rain. I can listen to Greg Lease play slide guitar all day, every day.
You and me both.
Oh man,
he makes me weep. Well, he makes the guitar weep.
He absolutely
and then
does.
In so doing, makes me weep too. Yeah.
Now, where does that song come from?
Nobody knows. It's lost in the mists of time. It's a very, very ancient song. It's sort of evolved. There's a version that I particularly love by the great Champion Jack Dupree, who's a hero of mine.
Blues pianist.
Yeah. Who actually wound up, oddly enough, living in England for a good chunk of his life, 20 years or so. He lived, I think, in Halifax.
Halifax in England?
In England.
Okay, not Nova Scotia.
Not Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Anyway, I've always loved his piano playing, loved his singing, and there was a version of... He did a version of that song which stuck in my head when I was much younger, and... But it's just one of those. It's a standard, you know. It's an ancient standard.
Champion Jack Dupree. I mean, this guy lived into the 1990s. A lot of these blues guys, to Americans' surprise, were still alive when the blues revival happened, and we all assumed they were long dead. And they were still very much with.
Right.
Did you ever get to like meet these guys?
I did not. I mean, this is one of the great regrets of my life. I can remember where I was, what I was doing when I heard that Muddy Waters had died, and I'm afraid, selfishly, the thought crossed my mind: oh hell, I'm never going to see the great man, perform live. But you're right. I mean, they. I'm happy to say that, for example, Dr. John I saw last week in Los Angeles doing the most wonderful show, tribute to Louis Armstrong, and absolutely at the height of his powers. Mm. I mean, as great as he's ever been, and it was the most wonderful show, and that was a complete thrill. But he is...
crazy?
He has
proven to us on soundcheck in the past that he's crazy.
He may be a little bit, he may have a touch of the crazy, but when he touches the piano, I just melt. I just completely melt. I love his piano playing.
Didn't It Rain is the latest from Hugh Laurie, the actor and blues musician. He'll be back here in New York playing at Town Hall on October 25th. Aside from, you know, House playing a little piano or guitar at the end of various episodes, had you had any kind of performance experience as a musician prior to the first record?
No, I hadn't. And some people may say, yes, that was pretty evident. I'd sort of dabbled in comic songs, in pastiches of things. Right. And very often the pastiches appeared on the surface to be a way of making fun of something. In actual fact, I was only really using it as an excuse to do something that I loved. So I wasn't really making fun of anything. Actually, they were little sort of tiny coded love letters that I was writing to certain kinds of music and certain kinds of song. But that was my only experience, really, was doing comic songs. And then to take a step into the world of sincere performance, of immersion in a song, and the vulnerability that comes with that, because it is a very exposing experience, but exposing in a great way, in a sort of taking off all your clothes and running into a freezing cold North Sea sort of way.
Is that a great way?
Actually, now
have
that
you
I
done
think,
that?
Now that I think, I have done that. Yes. It's actually greater afterwards than it is while it's happening. I agree. But maybe that's not the right example. But there is something thrilling and sort of, I don't want to use the word cleansing, because that's probably even summoning up an even weirder picture. But there is something bracing about it, and also something very intimate about sharing your love of music with an audience. Mm-hmm. You know, because just the act of saying, I love this song, just choosing a song, never mind writing one, actually just choosing one, that reveals something of oneself. And there is an intimacy in that when you do that in front of an audience.
Well, and we talked a little bit before about the process of choosing the songs for Didn't It Rain. You also had to choose a song to be the title track. And,
yes.
And obviously it was Didn't It Rain. That's... I don't think Mahalia Jackson wrote this or anything, but people will know her version of it.
Yes, and also there's a beautiful version of my sister Rosetta Tharpe, who is a complete hero of mine. Who, you know, you could make a case for Sister Rosetta Tharpe having sort of invented rock and roll. I mean, you know, you see her standing there with her white. I think it was a Telecaster. What was it? No, it wouldn't have been a Telecaster. But anyway, she is just. Vocally and whatever the adverb of guitars is, guitaristically, she is just everything. She may as well have invented the iPod, as far as I'm concerned.
So you went back to her version of
yes,
"Didn't It Rain" sort of the touchstone for this version.
Although when we did that song, we were not thinking of it necessarily as the sort of title track, but. There was something so when we actually came to record it, it sort of unfolded so joyously and so it announced itself as the likely title track.
And this is Gene McLean and Gabby Moreno who do the lead vocals here from Hugh Laurie's new album, the title track, Didn't It Rain.
To bring the news, he arched his wings and away he flew.
I sent the rain, you know it rained. How it rained, rained too long. My how it rained, rained all day, rained all night. Rain, 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 rain
Wouldn't It Rain is the title track of the new album by Hugh Laurie, the actor and musician, who is playing here in New York with his band at Town Hall on October 25th. Soundcheck listeners, go to our website and search for Gabby Moreno. You will hear a great set that she performed here in our Soundcheck studio about 2 years ago. She's one of the two singers on Didn't It Rain, along with Gene McLean. The band in tour, will it be similar to the band on the record?
Pretty much, yes.
The Copper Bottom Band.
The Copper Bottom Band, yes. It was hastily named. We were in the first show we did. We were in Hamburg in Germany, and a man ran backstage about a minute before we went on, said, "What are you called?" And I said, "Wow, we don't have a name." And I just, for some reason that I don't really understand, I said Copper Bottom Band. It just came out of my mouth. It's not a great story, I realize, but
I'm sure half of the skillet liquor names came out of a similar kind
exactly.
of necessity.
And rather like renaming a ship. I feel it's probably bad luck to change a name once you've got it. So we've stuck with it.
All right, Hugh, all this week on Soundcheck, we're asking our guests, our listeners, the musicians who come in and play for us, for their best or worst karaoke experience.
Do you know, you've come to the wrong store, because I have almost zero experience of karaoke. You could not, with a loaded gun, get me to do it.
I'm very happy to hear that, because when we started this week and I said, well, I've never done karaoke, everybody on the staff just looked at me like I'd suddenly sprouted another nose in the middle of my forehead.
Exactly, yes, you weirdo.
Yeah.
Yes, how can you have avoided that? That's like saying
Is it as big in England as it is
here?
No,
I don't think it is, no. Or at least if it is, maybe I just don't get out enough. That's also possible.
Yeah.
It's not something I've done with. And if I ever saw other people stepping up and starting to peel off their clothing in order to give a carry, I want to head for the door.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why. It's just not a thing that really tickles me.
You're allowed.
Is that okay?
That is absolutely. Hugh Laurie, the actor, blues musician, his latest album with the Copper Bottom Band is called Didn't It Rain. It is out now. Hugh, it's been great fun speaking with you. Thanks so much.
Likewise. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Evening. Every night you come and you find me. Why must you always remind me that my baby's gone? You've got me deep in your power. Every minute seems like an hour since my baby's gone. Shadows fall upon the wall. That's the time I miss your kisses most of all. Even though I try, how can I go on? Oh, evening, let me sleep till glow of dawn is breaking. I don't care if I don't awaken since my baby's gone. That's the time I miss your kisses most of all. Even though I try, how can I go on? Oh, evening, let me of dawn is breaking. I don't care if I don't awaken since my baby's gone. Since my baby's gone. Since my baby's gone.